can't hear me, I'll try to speak loud enough. Like I say, I'm getting older and my voice is getting weaker. But if you can't hear me, kind of hold your hand up.
Move forward.
Of course, that won't work either because my eyesight's going too. That'll remind me to talk a little louder. This is an outline in the bulletin this morning. If you'd like to follow along, you're very welcome to do that. Just simply titled it, Thanks Again and Again. Last week, we looked at the topic of thanksgiving from Psalm 100 and used that as our text. Today, we'll look at some New Testament verses that deal with the subject of thanksgiving. The text that was read to us this morning will kind of serve as an introduction. Just kind of notice the people in the text that was read to us. In verse 12, it says, there met him 10 men who were lepers. So we have introduced to us 10 that had a horrible disease. All of them, leprosy. There were 10 that were unclean. There were 10 that were isolated from society. There were 10 that were filled with despair because there wasn't any remedy. It was 10 that cried for mercy. In verse 13, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. It was 10 that received mercy. All of them. Verse 14, as they went, they were cleansed. Then we're introduced to one in verse 15. And one of them. The verse continues that this one returned and giving him thanks. It was one that expressed gratitude. It was one that turned his voice of pleading to a voice of praise. The verse continues that says, with a loud voice, he glorified God. It was one that gave thanks. Then the story tells about nine. Jesus puts it in the form of a question in verse 17. But where are the nine? Where are the nine? Nine did not return to say thanks. So I put in your notes, there were nine that were nearer to Jesus in their affliction than they were in their health. They all prayed when they were in distress, and these nine were included in that prayer and pleading. But now nine are silent when they should have offered thanks. I remember the story of a man on a ship. He's in the midst of a terrible storm. He looked around and he thought, boy, the wind and the waves seem to have the victory over me. And so he fell to his knees and began to pray. And he said, Lord, I haven't been a praying man. Lord, I haven't talked to you in 30 years. However, you'll hear me this once. Get me to shore safely. I promise not to bother you for another 30 years. Sometimes that's the way we are. We'll pray in our distress. We'll seek God out when times are terrible. But when times are good, God's not in our thoughts, not in our lives. He's forgotten. But putting your notes, the Bible puts thanks in a rather horrible light. The Apostle Paul says it this way. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1. He says, Paul says, this know also. So kind of, Paul's kind of saying, this know. Kind of get it in your mind. Know this. In the last days, perilous times shall come. What do perilous times look like? Paul tells us. It says, for men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good. They'll be traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof. And then Paul says, from such turn away. Now you look at that list and we'll be saying, I wouldn't be the majority of those things. Or none of those things. But yet right in the middle is that phrase, unthankful. Will we be that? And unthankful is categorized or listed right along with all of these others that we wouldn't be a part of. And so just as Paul says, from such turn away from all of these other horrible things, he's saying turn away from people that are unthankful. Seems like unthankfulness is something that's obviously is not applauded. If you're unthankful, you don't get an attaboy. If you're unthankful, it's not well done. You know, even parents, we recognize the importance of teaching our children, thank you. I don't think there's a parent among us, even when I'm kind of even on the sidelines and somebody gives something to the young child, and that child is not there with a thank you, mom and dad, or they're really quickly with, what do you say? What do you say? You remind them, because we want to teach our children to be thankful. Mm. And sometimes you might wonder, if you've received something from someone and some time has gone by, you think, I wonder if I should, I didn't say thank you, I wonder if it's too late to say thanks. Never. Never. It could be months or years. But if it's still on your mind, I don't think I said thanks. No matter how much time has passed, go ahead and either say it or write it down and send them a card. Say, thank you. Because I'm guessing that they still remember you didn't say thanks. So if it's still on your mind, even, I'll use the illustration, years later, oh, that's going to be precious to them to say, oh, look, it's been all this time. And they're still saying thanks. A lot of admonitions in the Bible to give thanks. I have some listed for you. I'm not going to just spend a lot of time on these, but just kind of introduce them to you. Number one, in Psalm 92, verse 1, it's a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord. It's a good thing. I want to admonish brethren or encourage them and just kind of ask, what will it take to convince you to give thanks to God? What's it going to take? The psalmist says it's a good thing. Good. So just so there's no misunderstanding, I got my dictionary out, my thesaurus, and I looked up the word good. It's in your notes. Means conforming to a high standard of morality or virtue. It's a good thing to give thanks. It's honorable. It's decent. It's upright. It's virtuous. It's proper. Becoming. It's an expression of doing well. So what's it going to take to get you to say thanks to God? It's a good thing. It's a good thing. Number two, in Psalm 30, verse 4, sing praise to the Lord, you saints of His, and give thanks at the remembrance of His holy name. When you think about God, it should cause you to think about giving thanks because of who He is, at the remembrance of His holy name. If you live in this city for any length of time over the last several years, if you're driving north on 805 freeway near Market Street, and I do that quite often, occasionally you'll see a large semi-trailer parked on the overpass. And it has a message printed on the side of this semi in huge letters. And it says, Jesus Christ is Lord and not a curse word. Big letters on the semi, the trailer. Not ashamed of that. For that driver, and I don't know who it is, but he's simply saying, Jesus. He's giving thanks at the remembrance of Jesus' name. He's Lord. Not a curse word. In Psalm 111, verse 9, He, meaning God, has sent redemption to His people. He's commanded His covenant forever. Holy and reverend is His name. One translation uses the word awesome. Holy and awesome is His name. When Jesus instructed the disciples to pray, He says, after this manner pray ye. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Hallowed, reverend is your name. Give it, honorable is your name. So we need to give thanks for the holiness of God's name. Number three, in Psalm 119, verse 62. At midnight I'll rise to give thanks to you because of your righteous judgments. When we think about at midnight, as suggesting a dark hour in our day or our life, but really not the time on the clock. He's not suggesting everybody set your timers, your alarms, and get up at midnight and say thanks. But it's when we're at the depths of despair, when we're down and out, when things look gloomy, when we don't understand the reason for our adversity. Says, give thanks. And many of us are at a midnight situation in our life. Maybe things aren't looking too good. There might be sorrow, or we're discouraged. Might be a physical illness. You might be lonely or fearful over something. And the challenge is to see that God is still righteous. And at midnight, rise up and give thanks. I remember a story my father-in-law, Darrell Collins, told just months before he passed away. But he got up at midnight to use the restroom. And when he came back out, the light was on in the bedroom, and his wife, my mother-in-law Wilma, was making the bed. You know, she had all severe Alzheimer's. And so midnight didn't mean anything to her. Darrell got up. It must be time to get up and make the bed. And so Darrell, telling the story, he said, well, I just had to smile and sit on the sofa with her and finish the night there and thank God for all the good years, 60-some years of marriage. But that's all he could do. Wilma made the bed. It's midnight. So at midnight, I'll rise up and give thanks. He really did. At midnight, gave thanks. So. In Romans 8, verse 28, it says, we know that all things work together for good to those that love the Lord, to those that are called according to His purpose. Now, I'm not thankful for midnight, but I'm thankful that God is there to get me through the midnight. So we look for that proverbial silver lining. Remember that Psalm 23. Yea, though I walk through the valley. Well, that doesn't sound good. The valley. The shadow. Death. I fear no evil. Why? Because thou art with me. Thy rod and my staff, they comfort me. And the verse began, yea, though I walk through. Don't pass by that word. Through. Can't eliminate the valley. Can't eliminate the shadow. Can't eliminate the death. So I'm thankful that God will see me through. Bring me out safely on the other side. Number four in your notes in 1 Corinthians 15 verse 57. Thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. And it's because of that final victory, that hope of eternal life, we say thank you. Thank you. The Apostle Paul continued in the next verse. In verse 58, he says, therefore, in other words, because of that victory, thank you, God. So therefore, My beloved brethren, be steadfast. Why? Because of the victory that's ours. Be unmovable and always abounding in the work of the Lord. And he says, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. All those ministries we involve ourselves in, the service, the words of kindness, the times that we pick somebody up, or the times that we just simply ask, what do you need, or how can I help you? Let me get that. Our labor is not in vain in the Lord. Not forgotten. Thank you for the victory. Number five, 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 18. Says, in everything give thanks. Everything. Everything, Brother Wilson. Everything give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. I've used this illustration before in this book. You know, The Hiding Place by Corrie Ten Boom was in the concentration camp in Germany, World War II. And on pages 180 and 181. They're in these barracks, building that designed to hold 400 has 1,400 ladies in it. And Betsy, Corey's friend, Betsy and Corey, they're there, and Betsy is wailing to Corey. Or Corey's wailing to Betsy and says, How can we live in such a place? How can we do that? Corey says, Betsy, you got to show us, how can we survive this? And so Betsy says, you know, I was reading about that this morning. God's already given us the answer. And she happened to have a Bible with her. Because every time they would read it, they would have to look around for the soldiers, and they would pull it out of, Betsy's, I pulled it out of my pouch and read it. And in the stories, they've been reading it through for the third time. So Betsy tells Corey, says, I saw this verse, and it's this one I put right here, 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 18. In everything give thanks. And Corey says, what do we have to give thanks for? And Betsy says, well, such as being assigned here together. Well, that's right. We could have, in all of this concentration camp, we could have been separated. I'm thankful that we're together. Corey bites her lip and says, oh. Then Betsy says, and such is what you're holding in our hand, and the Bible, the Word of God. Thank you, she says to God. And then she says, Betsy said, and Corey, we need to thank God for the crowding that's here. You see, since we're packed so close, that many more will hear, because they would read the Word of God aloud. It's already three things. I'm thankful that we're together. Thank you we have the Word of God. And thank you that it's crowded. A building that's designed to hold 400 is holding 1,400. And then Betsy's going to start praying. And says, thank you, God, for all these things. And then Betsy went on serenely, and thank you for the fleas. And that got to Corey. She says, fleas! How can you thank God for the fleas? Well, dear Lord, there's no inspection. The soldiers won't come and inspect the barracks because of the fleas. Thank you, God, for the fleas. I've never thought about thanking God for fleas. Thank you. Then she added a little kind of a lesson. Betsy went on to say, you know, that verse that we just read, says give thanks in all circumstances. It doesn't say just to give thanks in pleasant circumstances. In everything give thanks. I'm in a concentration camp, and you want me to say thank you? Oh, but I'm thankful that my friend is with me. Thankful I have a Bible in my hand. Thank you that there's no inspection. So thank you for the fleas. Thank you for the fleas, and that so many more people will hear your word. Number 6. In 2 Corinthians 9, verse 15. Thanks be to God for His indescribable, and some translations say unspeakable gift. Thank you. It was in many of the songs that we sang this morning. Amazing grace. And He paid a debt that He didn't owe. Indescribable. And one of the familiar verses of everyone is John 3:16. God so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son. Thank you, God, for an indescribable, unspeakable gift. And whosoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Thank you. Thank you. So we're going to sing a song right now at the close of this lesson. It's a song that we sing each time we assemble together. It's a song or a hymn of invitation. A hymn of exhortation. If you need to respond in a public way while brethren are here to rejoice with you in your decision or your resolve or your resolution, you just need to simply let your request be known that you want to become a Christian. Or you want brethren to pray with you. You want to share a situation and say, help me out in prayer. We can accomplish that. So if you've heard, and by becoming a Christian, if you've heard the good news, meaning that God so loved the world, you've heard that. And now you believe it. As Jesus said in John 8:24, except you believe that I am He, you'll die in your sins. And Jesus said to repent in Luke 13:3. So we want to hear the gospel, the good news message. We want to believe it and repent or turn our lives around. And then we want to confess our faith that Jesus is God's Son, as the Ethiopian did to Philip in Acts chapter 8. And then when they did that, they stopped the chariot and Philip baptized the Ethiopian. Baptized him. And that's the plan. That's the formula. And so we sing this invitation song at the close of a lesson. Whosoever will may come. If that's your resolve, if that's your decision, please come and have a seat beside me while we're singing this song. So let's stand together, and that's the invitation to all. Please come if that's your desire.
I heard an old, old story, how a Savior came from glory, how He gave His life on Calvary to save a wretch like me. I heard about His groaning, of His precious blood's atoning. Then I repented of my sins and won the victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior. And the old redemption story.